feet feet
是我的是。
Okay. Hello. Thanks for being on time, Julian. Welcome. We are doing this. We want to come all the kids. Yeah. We're trying this out. We feel like it's good to always have the kids come and worship with us. Is it every week? Every last week? Every last Saturday of the month, we want the kids to come. Your mother say one, not I say one. So you want to ask, you ask your mother go home. Ask me so many things for what? Yeah, your mother. You look more and more like your mother as you grow older. As we come and we worship the Lord, let's get our hearts ready. Children, I want you to come forward, okay? Children, put down your bags. I want you to come forward and just stand and just worship us. A couple of songs, don't know whether to go Jie or Auntie. Auntie Esther will lead us to worship. Come, children, come quickly. Yeah. Come again. Yeah. Sit on the floor lah. Then later come forward lah. Okay. So we're going to lead you in some songs, right? I hope you guys are familiar with the songs. What the songs are? Draw Me Close to You
and
Beautiful Savior. Can you show my picture? Yeah, not my picture, but the picture. Yeah, this is a picture of my house. Listen lah. A lot of questions. Whose boy is this? Come, forget the name. Luther, come. Yeah. This is a picture of my house, just taken at about 3 p.m. You see the tree? The tree is in my neighbor's... Is it inside my neighbor's house? It's beside. Right? And we were driving Karen's car, and this is the picture of my house at about 3 p.m. today after we came back. The tree, it's quite a tall tree, and one of the branches snapped and the whole entire branch just fell. Of course, when things like that happen, you don't know when, you don't know how, you don't know why, right? I only know it happened when I was not around. It could have happened when my car is parked right smack in the middle. Sometimes when you have a clear road, you just park wherever you can find, right? So thankfully, we are parking just a bit further. Otherwise, my car would have received the tree branch. And the worst thing would have been if I was driving, not crashed, put the car down there, or I'm talking to maybe Joe about the sun. You know, the sun asked so many questions, then the tree come and whack me. I want to tell you that our life is in God's hands, kids. You understand? And He's a beautiful Savior. God saved me for a reason. There's so many things I need to do. That's why I 2 weeks ago, I concussion. I'm still okay. Then this one, I thought, my goodness, if I was there, Sharon, can you imagine? Not? And the best part is that car is a soft top. So it's not like a hard roof. If the thing had come down, Owen, soft top. My head also would be very soft. But I want to just encourage us. Our life is in God's hands. Really discussing how to legislate, where the thing fall and whatever. Don, it's just the thing came and Tsun Tsun just missed my car. And if I were driving this car instead of my wife's car, I don't know, it could have been a different story. But I want to encourage us. God is interested in our lives. Okay, children? So without any further questions, I want to invite the children to come. Can you stand up? I want to ask the worship band to just lead us in the time of closing. Okay, we're going to worship the Lord. I want you to come forward, the children. Very good.
Okay, so Jesus meant so loud, so scary. But Jesus is in the house. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, I'm just going to share one thing. Okay, I just now saw the tree dropping down, right? I mean, not dropping down, falling, fell down. I just want to tell you that actually Jesus has always been my superhero. And I pray that all of you will always see Jesus as your superhero. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, come, let's worship the Lord. Father, we just want to give thanks to you. Lord, look at all of us here. And Lord, as we worship you, Lord, may you take delight in our worship. Lord, as we lift our hands together, Lord, may you receive our praise and thanksgiving to you. Amen. I just want to encourage all of us to lift up your hands. Blessing Jesus, beautiful Savior. Lord Jesus, we want to just give thanks to you. Lord, you're so good. You are the Lamb of God, sacrifice for our sins. You are the Lamb of God who is raised again so that we may have life and more abundantly, Lord. Lord, as we draw near to you, I know that you always take so many steps ahead of us just to draw near to us. And so we give thanks. Because when we draw near, we know we can find peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace that's not of the world. And we can find rest, true rest in you. Thank you, Lord. Today, as we come before the Lord, and if you are feeling far away, the Lord says in His word, when two or three gather in His name, He's here with us. And no matter how you feel, Jesus say, I'm here. I am now your superhero. Do not be afraid. I will take your troubles and give you my joy. And I just want to encourage all of us, if you are burdened in your heart, in your life, open up your hands as a posture of surrender to Him.
My desire. forever. Your goodness is forever. Your mercy is forever.
Father, we come before you. I want the children, you lift your hands before the Lord. You're not lifting your hands to me. You're lifting your hands to God. So without anyone looking around, I want the kids, the brothers and sisters, I consider you a brother and sister. Although I'm 56 years old, you're 4 years old, you're my brother. You understand? I want you to lift your hands. Huh? How old? 8 ah? I'm sorry, I thought you looked 4. Can we lift our hands before the Lord, all of us? I want the kids to learn how to worship with the adults because we're all children of God. Look at Auntie Jo. She's 67 years old. She's still a child of God. You understand? So as we come before the Lord, I want us to raise our hands and we're going to just sing the last part. And it should be a tradition. Every time we have a chance where we lead worship with adults, I want the kids to be blessed by the adults. And later, although today, especially with Silas speaking, today I tell you first, I guarantee you, the service will be long. But I want the kids to be blessed, and later, before we let the kids go, every adult, find a child that is not your child. I want you to bless. Ask the Lord to speak. This is the next generation. We want to bless them. You are good. You are good. You are good. Your mercy. Your mercy is, say you are good, say you are good. You are good, you are good, you are good. Your mercy is forever. You're all I want. You're all I want. You're all I ever needed. You're all I am. Lift your hands before the Lord. Say, you are all I want. You're all I want. Help me to know. Help me know you are. Children, sing to the Lord. Say, you are all I want. You are all I want. Say, you're all I ever needed. You're all I am. Time. You're all I want. Sing along. You're all I want. You're all I want. You're all I ever needed. You're all I ever need. You're all I want.
You're all I want.
Say, help me to know.
Help me know you.
Know you. As the musicians continue to play, will the doubts just come? Find a child, find the child that the Lord has pointed you. If it's two adults sharing one kid, it is all right. The ratio doesn't really matter. And I want you to bless the kids before we release them. Can you quickly just come? You don't have to be a father or mother to bless. Luther, you can even be whatever. You just come and bless them quickly. Okay, if the children are ready, Phyllis, can we lead the children out? Thank you so much, children. Those who are being prayed for, be prayed. The rest who are done, all prayed for already. Anyone pray for you guys? Pray already? Thank you. God bless you, kids. We'll see you next month. I think it's 24th of June. Thank you. God bless you. And the rest of the adults, can you just come forward and just fill up so that we don't have to project too much? Thank you. Praise you, God. Thank you. The rest of us quickly settle down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Wonderful time, huh? Yeah. Praise you, God. We are privileged. Silas will want to start on us on this series. We call it the... Is it the H&M series? His Name Matters series. It sounds like a fashion brand. We talk about how we want to really emphasize in the next few weeks on the name of God. It's something that I think was an idea that I caught on when Silas brought it up, and I thought it's something we want to do. So as we just lay this whole list series, we want to really study the different names of God, Jehovah, Jireh, Jehovah Shammah, and so forth. And I thought as we do that, it is great because it helps us to undergird and know what God represents our lives. And I trust that as we go through this entire series, we'll be able to just know more about Him. Sometimes when we know someone, right? I mean, for example, let's say Sharon, I ask you, why do you marry Owen? You know, we may say, oh, Owen is very smart. But if Owen is smart, maybe Gunn is smarter. Or if you say, marry Owen, why Owen? Because he's very rich, but maybe Jonathan is richer. But maybe we keep asking, then maybe Sharon will say, oh, because he's Owen. It's that name Owen. It's just that person. I hope it's true. Sometimes just a person, the person, what the person stands for. Because there will always be someone better, so to say. But with God, it's different. It's just the name of God. But it's good to know Him better. As we get to know Him better, I think our walk will also flourish. So as we come before the Lord, I want to just commit this series to the Lord. I want us to just pray. Will you please bow your heads with me? Father, we thank You. As we come before You, we bring this series to You. Lord, Your name of the Lord is a strong tower. For those who run to it, they'll be safe. So, Father, as our brother Silas brings forth this first message, may this message be one that's anointed, where they will edify and will encourage. So, Lord, we commit all we have to You, all the people here, those who are not well, those on YouTube, and those who will watch this service, even in delayed broadcast in the days, on the months, or the weeks to come. Lord, may this word bring forth healing and embalming effect, so that, Lord, we lift up the name of the Lord. Father, we thank You, bless You. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Let's welcome Silas. Thank you. Is this a mic for him? Thank you.
Testing. Okay, good. Today is a very, very happy day for me because I just came from the airport and greet my daughter. She just came back from London today. So super happy. I mean, when I see her, I can't describe the feeling. it's just so much of the joy that welled up within you. When I see the younger sister hugging her, both of them crying, I also want to cry. And you can imagine, right, the last time I saw my daughter is sometime in end of December. So this is the longest time they were ever separated. And it's a father's heart when you see your kids and the kind of warmth that come up within you. At that moment, you just think of, that's how our Heavenly Father, the day when we go back, when He see us, it's the same kind of joy, the same kind of exuberation when you see someone coming back to Him, right? So even in the earthly matter, I can relate to this. Seeing my daughter coming back, I'm so happy. So I'm in a very good mood today, right? Okay, so like Daniel said, we're going to start with a series of Name of God. And I thought it's important for us to study that because I think in a way, the name of God explains certain characters of this God that we are worshipping. But before we go to that, I think let's take a little bit in terms of what name represent, right? I don't know why Joe put Elizabeth Lee. Maybe she liked these kids, but anyway, it's not relevant. Name in certain way, it does represent part of our personal, cultural, and our familiar historical connection. All of us is given a name, right? I think especially in a Chinese family, if I look at my dad's family, right, my father's name is Li Rongfu. Then my second uncle is Li Rongchang. Then there's Li Yongsheng, whatever. Right? So in that generation, they kind of denote that the Rong is that generation of kids. Then when it come to us, my Chinese name is Li Zijian, and then my younger brother is Li Zixing. So it's a zi that represent that. So in the Chinese culture, somehow in the old generation, they use that word to kind of connect the family. So you look at the name, you know that this guy are related, either brother or sister or uncles or whatever, right? And in a way, there's also some cultural element within there, right? It's not only in the Chinese culture. So even you take the Amor culture, someone tell, oh, my name is Robert Downey Jr. Guess what is the name of my father? Not Howard Stark, it's actually Robert Downey. So Robert Downey Jr. is the son of Robert Downey. In fact, in the Muslim culture, if you know, right, it's bin something, right? Which means I'm the son of someone. Bin Abraham, bin whatever, right? So there is a family connection to the name. So in a way, name is quite interesting because it does represent certain cultural aspect of who we are. And the second thing is that name, of course, it clearly gives us an identity, right? Each one have a name. When someone thinks of Silas Lee, they have an image of who this person is. In a way, it's kind of also blended with the perception of people have of you. What you do, what you say, and the kind of things that you conduct yourself, the name somehow blended with a perception of who you are. But I think one thing that's very important, for example, if someone talks to you, you know who is LKY, right? Lee Kuan Yew. And when the name comes to you, Lee Kuan Yew, what really strikes most of the people is a legacy. What does Mr. Lee Kuan Yew's legacy represent? We all know as a Singaporean, we are benefited from his hard work and all his vision and all this. And that is the legacy we're living in. The name of Mr. Lee Kuan Yew is the legacy that he left behind. So name itself is actually important. And if you don't believe me, you go to books of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 1. It says there, a good name is more desirable than great riches. So a good name is actually even more desirable than all the riches. You can be a super rich person, but if your name stinks and sucks, okay, it's useless. Because the proverb says, and then it says that to be esteemed is better than gold or silver. So the book of Proverbs says that lift up to your name. Don't let people throw stone at you. And those of us who study Chinese history, you remember Ye Fei and Qin Kui, right? This guy, the guy, Ming, what is that? Yi Chou Wan Yan. The name of the guy who sabo Ye Fei, until today people remember who he is. Yi Chou Wan Yan. It means the remnant of the smell of the name sting. Generation after generation, the name sting. Every time you talk about the person, the name stink. Okay? So name itself is very important. And there's nothing more important when God himself gives you name. Okay? We all know that when God do certain thing, it must be so important. When he created the world, he do all this and he do that. And if he personally named you, which means there's a great importance and significance behind that. So in a way, God also gives people's name. So let's start at the very beginning book of Genesis, right? He named Adam. And ladies, I have good news for you. Why? He named the lady counterpart Eve. You know what's the meaning of Eve? Anyone to venture? Oh, first, you know what's the meaning of Adam? Adam means dasno, earth. In fact, it's red earth. So it's like cow dung, it's like earth. We are made from earth, we are made from dust. So the name Adam is actually dust. But God gave a special name to Eve. So no longer anyone can say that God is sexist. The name Eve means living. So it's quite, if you think about it, it's quite logical because it's from Eve, the generation the kids are going to come forth. So God personally named his creation. And then, of course, then he tasked Adam, because you're the first creation, Adam named every single animal on earth. So naming yourself is very important. And if you want to look at the name of some historical figure, Abraham. Before he became Abraham, he's known as Abram. And what's the meaning of Abram? Abram means exalted father. It's a father that is exalted, well-respected. But when God gave Abram the covenant and say, you go forth and multiply, and your descendants shall be like the sand on the beaches and star in the sky, right? The name has converted to Abraham. Abraham means father of multitude. And from Abraham, we all came forth. So that is the significance of it. And you can go on and on and on, right? Even like, if you think about Paul, previously he's called Saul. His name is Saul. When God touches him, he's named Paul. And what's the meaning of Paul? Paul is someone who's being humble. Why God specifically calls Saul someone to be humble? Because you remember the background of Saul, right? He was so arrogant, he was going around persecuting every Christian that he knew of. But God says that now you are my child, you no longer shall call Saul. Instead, you shall be called Paul. And you shall humble before me with all humility. You shall carry my words, and many will come to know me because through what you've done, right? So there was a great significance in terms of the name that God to given to all of us. So in a way, whatever name that your parent has given to you, you need to reflect upon it. Do all of us live up to the name that our parent has intended for us? But I think more importantly, do all of us live up to the name that God has intended for us, right? And why is this so important? In fact, you go to a book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verse 14 to 16, first part of that, it says, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, the Lord has forgotten me. So children of Israel are complaining, oh God, you forgot about me and all this, right? And the Lord's response is very easy. He said, can a mother forget a baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child that she has born? So God said, you always complain that I forget about you, but don't forget, I'm the one who gave birth to you. And if the earthly mother will always remember the baby, right? He go on to say that even the earthly mother, if she may forget you, I will not forget you. And that's God's promise to all of us. And he says, see, I have engraved you on the palms of my hand. So the Lord basically says that I engrave your name on my palms. I will never forget you. It's like God tattooed our name. It's permanent. Every single name, Owen, Gan, and everyone, my name included. God say, I engrave your name on my palm. Why? Because God will always remind himself that these are my children. And it's something that he look at every day. He look at every name. He say, I want to bless this name because this is my child. So this is God's promise to all of us. And that is the reason why name has a lot of significance. And if you think about it, if the earthly name like us has carried so much of the significance, what more about the name of God himself, right? So the way we should look at it is that, and I think previously I talked about it in the book of Exodus, when they covered it previously, the name Yahweh was appeared many times before, even before the encounter of Moses, right? And in the past, God appeared to Abraham, to Jacob, and Isaac, say, I'm the Lord, I'm your God. I'm God Almighty. He keeps using the word God Almighty, right? Until you come to the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. This is the time that when Moses met God at the burning bush, And then God said, I want you to go back to Israel, Egypt to redeem the people, right? And then Moses start with this. If you turn with me to Exodus chapter 3, the key words here is that the name I am here, who I am, right? It actually comes forth from chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. Let me read for you. It says here, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your father has sent me to you. So Moses said, God, if I go to the children of Israel, say, the God of your father has sent me to you. But the children of Israel might say to me, what is his name? Interesting question. By now, the children of Israel will know what is God's name. Like I say, God Almighty, and all this has been used before, right? But when Moses was asking God, say, in case they ask me who sent, who is a God that sent? Okay, they say, what is the name? And then what shall I say to them? That is when God responds to Moses and say, and this is the verse says, I can't do justice to the exact Hebrew pronunciation. I'll try. It probably sounds something like Yahweh, Ashe, Yahweh. And in the direct translation of Hebrew word, it means I am who I am. Okay? When I first read this, I thought, wow, this is super cool, right? If anyone asks you what is your name, say, I am. Full stop. My name is just I am. There's no question about it. I am who I am, which means I am sovereign. I can decide whatever I want to do. I can create anything. I can terminate anything. And I am, which means that I am is a present tense. It's continuous. I am is a name that has no beginning. It has no end. In wherever part of your life you're in, it's always I am. Whether yesterday, today, or tomorrow, I am, remain, I am. So this is when the first time God said that this is my name. I am. Go and tell the children of Israel, I am send you. The name of your God is I am. So, and God said to Moses, that thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your father, the father of Abraham, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Interesting. If you look at this sentence, why don't God just make it very easy? I just say, I'm the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. Why must be God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob? It's as if they're three different gods. But not true. But what he's trying to say that God appeared to every generation in a different name, different form. But it's still the same. It's the same I am. And in fact, it's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob that has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial to all generations. So God was trying to explain that this is my name. My name is I am. And not only he say that my name is I am, he also tried to explain to Moses and say, go and tell the children of Israel, this I am God that sent you is a God that's able to do anything that he wants. It's a God of sovereign. The God has no beginning and no end. The God who is in control of everything. That's why he say, I am who I am. It's the God that is going to send you. And as if this is not enough, just to show you how important God emphasized on his name, if you go on to Exodus chapter 6, verse 1 to 8, he go on to explain what it means by I am, which literally means Yahweh, right? What is the meaning of Yahweh behind that? And then in chapter 6, please turn your Bible to that, verse 1 to 8, if you can follow this. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of this land. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord, Yahweh. The word I am the Lord here is Yahweh, right? I appear to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob as God Almighty. So when God previously present himself to Abraham and the previous generation as God Almighty, but now I'm going to tell you my name is the Lord, Yahweh. And at that time when I present myself to them, I was not known to them as the name Yahweh. I was known to them as God Almighty. But now I'm telling you, my name is Yahweh, my name is I Am. I've also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their primogeniture, to which they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptian has kept in bondage. So God said, I hear your groaning, I hear all the complaint that you have, and I remember my covenant. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord Yahweh. I will bring you out from under the burden of Egyptian. I will rescue you from the bondage, and I'll redeem you with an outstretched arm and a great judgment, and I'll take you in as my people. So if you read the book of Exodus chapter 6, God go on to explain the name Yahweh, I am, is the God that's going to come to redeem you. The Yahweh God is going to come here to liberate you from all your bondage and all the complaint that you have. And God is going to be your redeemer. So it's as if God said that giving you a new I am, in case that you guys still cannot understand and cannot comprehend what I'm trying to say, I'm going to make it so crystal clear to you that I am the God that is going to redeem you. I'm going to redeem you out of your bondage. I'm going to give you a promised land. I'm going to bring you to a land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I give it to you as a heritage. And then you end with the word, I am the Lord, i.e. I am. You end with the word, I am the Lord, Yahweh. So by now, I hope you understand what it means by I am who I am. And the word Yahweh, what does it represent? And this is the context. In this situation, God is trying to explain to the children of Israel, when Moses comes to you, when Moses tells you that my name is I am who I am, when Moses tells you that I am the Yahweh, and the name represents itself, says, I'm going to give you the great hope that I'm going to deliver you from bondage. And indeed, we all know the story, right? God redeemed his children. And that is how powerful the name of God is. It carries God's identity as the redeemer in this case, that I am who I am, and I can do anything that I want. Even Pharaoh is so stubborn, I will still make sure that things happen. So this is one incident I hope you understand. Understanding the name of God is important because it speaks to us of who God is. And which is that's the reason why that to understand the meaning of the divine name is to understand the character of God revealed by that name. Every name that God used, there is a meaning. When you say, I am, it means something. I am the eternal God. I am your redeemer. I am going to be your savior. I'm going to give you hope. I'm going to give you strength. And I think through this series, we'll go through name by name by name by name. And then you're beginning to understand every name of God represents something about character of God. And as you go deeper into the name of God, you will get to a better understanding of God and know that the God who you serve, right? So this is the reason why that I thought the name of God is extremely important. This is just one context of what Yahweh meant about. But of course, if you read through the Bible, God appeared to his children in different names, right? And then we can go and talk about Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Jireh, and all the series of names. And each of those names carries certain significance. And I thought we should start off by explaining to you why that name is so important, as you can understand here. Because every name, there is a deeper meaning behind that. So I thought we were going to start with this series, first understanding the significance of the name of God, then we'll go through one by one. Today, I happen to be assigned one of the easiest names, so-called. Okay? It is this name, Jehovah Rohi. Anyone seen this name before? Jehovah Rohi. But if I'm going to tell you, what Jehovah Rohi means is that the Lord is my shepherd. Comprehendo? Easy, right? So Jehovah Rohi essentially means that the Lord is my shepherd. Okay? And if there's any scripture that you read through the whole Bible that clearly explains what the name, the shepherd mean and Rohi mean, is actually in the books of Psalm. And it's a Psalm that we are all so familiar with, right? And again, please turn with me to your Bible and go to the book of Psalm chapter 23. Okay? Psalm chapter 23, it says that, first one, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So what does that mean? When they say that the Lord Jehovah Rohi, I proclaim the name of Jehovah Rohi, it means that I acknowledge him as my shepherd and I shall not want because I know that God's provide. that whatever situation that I'm in, I know that God will always provide me because he's my shepherd. I'm the sheep that come along. He will always feed me. So if there's any assurance that you need, knowing the name of Jehovah Rohi, you know that God will always provide for you. And then in verse 2, it goes on to say that he makes me to lie down in green pasture. He led me beside the still water. He restored my soul. So it is a God who refreshes us. Okay? Whenever you are in the dry land, God will lead you down in the green pasture. He'll bring you by the brooks of the water. You can hear the waterfall trickling down. Very nice. Right? And he restores your soul. So the Lord will always want to refresh you. And this is what Jehovah Rohi means. And then if you go on further, in verse 4, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. That's easy to understand, right? He will always guide us. He will always be there. Whatever things that we have, God will always be there for us. And the next one is that God always protects. If you get, again, you go on the second half of verse 4, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know that the shepherd, they have a rod and a staff, right? And what is the purpose of that? Sometimes they use that to direct traffic. Sometimes you use that to give you a little whack on the buttock so that you all behave, right? But clearly God is there to protect you from the clear and present danger. Because if you go astray, okay, and things will happen. So for that reason, the psalmist says that your rod and your staff, they always comfort me because the sheep know that. There's great comfort knowing that the shepherd knows what he's doing. The rod and the staff is always there to protect us, to always comfort us, right? And then if you can carry on to read. He prepared a table before me. He prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemy. He anoints my head with oil. So the Lord will always anoint us with whatever gift that is given to you. Lord will anoint you and prepare you in times of difficulty, even in front of your enemies, right? So this is very much in the books of Psalm 23, it'll kind of give you a picture of what the shepherd is all about, right? And in fact, one of the things that, in terms of protection, I remember when I was a young Christian, I listened to this preacher talking about, they say that the shepherd sometimes, when the sheep go astray, okay, the shepherd actually bring the naughty sheep in and break the legs of the sheep, okay? And then shield the sheep back to health. And the reason being why? Because if you don't do that, the joker will continue to run away and present greater danger, right? But as I study a little bit more, that might not be true because I don't think God is so crazy to the extent that just because you do something wrong, he break your legs. In fact, there was a term, I think someone just misinterpreted it. It's called break leg. It's not B-R-E-A-K. It's B-R-A-K-E. Macam jam break, right? It's called break leg. Apparently, in the olden days of those shepherds, they have this technique called break leg. Break leg essentially means that if in amongst all the troops of the sheep is the one recalcitrant one, the shepherd will pay special attention that every time they move in the group, this sheep, he will always hold back so that the sheep will learn how to move within the group, within the boundary of safety. So it's as if applying a break to the sheep to make sure that it doesn't go astray. So sometimes, I think as we think about it, in our life, many times we want to run ahead of ourselves. And the Lord sometimes just has to put the brake to everything that we do. Sometimes we say, oh, this job is killing me. I just can't wait to get out of this lousy job. Any opening that comes, I just want to run out and grab the job. But somehow the Lord just don't allow that to happen. Perhaps this is when Jehovah Rohi, the shepherd, is trying to say that I'm trying to guide you, I'm trying to protect you, I'm trying to make sure that the parameter is right, I'm putting a brake to all these things. And this is what the shepherd do. So what those days are talking about breaking leg, the first time I heard it, I was like, wow, this is damn serious, man. It's right, very painful, right? But as I understand a little bit more what the shepherd do, the shepherd is always have a heart for the sheep. And the way he do it is to really slow you down. So there are times in our life, maybe we are running ahead of ourselves. Just remember that the shepherd is there to help you to bring a break to where you really want to go into the danger and bring you back to safety. So Jehovah Rohi is a name that encapsulates what the Lord Shepherd means. In fact, the name, the Jehovah Rohi, the name of shepherd, go beyond Psalm 23. You continue to read the Bibles, there are many, many references to what shepherd is all about. And one of them is in Isaiah 53:6. Okay? God redeems. And this one is, I love this. Okay? He said, in Isaiah 53:6, he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. All of us are sheep gone astray. We are all sinners, right? We have turned everyone to his own way. We all just have to feed. We're just all running around like a headless chicken, trying to figure out things by ourselves. And as the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So we, being a sinners, we are the one who go into all kind of stuff. But the God the Father put all our sins onto Jesus himself so that we all can be redeemed. So the shepherd is the one who redeemed all of us. And this is clearly stated in the book of Isaiah. So it's as if all the problems or all the leadership that they have, all the punishment was go back to the shepherd. And this shepherd is the one who is going to redeem us. So Jehovah Rohi is also the God who redeemed. It's the shepherd that redeemed all of us. And in fact, he's also the one who disciplined us. We talk about the sheep training, break legs and all this. And what I find more interesting, God is always on the lookout for all of us. And I think I mentioned it before, right? Among all the religious, Christianity is the only one instead of human beings seeking God. You can think through every religious in the world, right? It's all about teaching you, go and seek God, go to the mountain to meditate, try to do things to praise the God that you're serving, right? But the God that we serve is the other way around. Instead of us seeking him, he is the one that's forever on the lookout for us. Since the creation, since the fall of mankind, the history of mankind is about God seeking us. And that is clearly illustrated in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, verse 11 to 12. For it says here that, for thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flocks on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered. So God basically said that I will always look out for you. Wherever you are, I will always look out for you. And that's what shepherds do. Sometimes you go to a pasture and see all these sheep all running all over the place in the whole mountain, right? I always wonder how the shepherd is going to track them. But whatever is before the sautong, at the end of the day, before they go back, you know the shepherd will go around the whole mountain to look for every single sheep and bring them back to fold. And this is what God says. Wherever the stage of your life you are, no matter how scattered you are, I will always bring you back and I always seek you. And this is what Jehovah Rohi is all about. And in fact, the name Jehovah Rohi doesn't stop there just being a shepherd. And let me go in and tell you a little bit more of the name definition. Jehovah Rohi comes from this word Rohi, okay? And then there's an extension of the word Ra, R-A-H, which is where Rohi comes from. Okay, let me backtrack, okay? Rohi, the word Jehovah Rohi, come from this word Rohi. But Rohi come from this word Ra. So you trace all the way back, instead of Jehovah Rohi, another name of God is Jehovah Ra. And the Ra in the Hebrew interpretation is the Lord, my friend, my companion. I thought this is interesting. So the name Jehovah Rohi not only represents God as a shepherd, but more importantly, if you ask me, I thought it's a lot more important to me, is that it actually represents that the Lord say that I am your friend. I am your companion. Yea, you can walk through the shadow of death. I am with you always. I am your companion. And more than that, I am your friend. And if you go on to read in the books of, let's jump a little bit to New Testament. Go to the book of John 15, verse 15. Okay? And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, no longer do I call you servant, for a servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you my friend. So God is telling us, you are no longer a servant. You are my friends. For all the things that I heard from my Father, I made known to you. God basically said that whatever I download from God the Father, because you are my friend, there's no separation. Whatever I hear, I just give it to you because you are my friend. I thought, wow, that is interesting. Shepherd, you always think of shepherd as someone as your leader, right? You're just a sheep. I just follow the leader. You just follow the shepherd, right? But God, go beyond that. Other than being your shepherd, I'm also your friend. We are on the same level. We are joint heir with Christ. God basically says that, well, I am God, but at the same time, I'm also your friend. And in fact, in the book of John, it goes on to explain in John chapter 10, verse 11 to 16, not only God is a friend, he is a faithful friend. Okay, you got all kind of friend, right? Some sabo you. Some are just short-term friend. Some are friends who are very transactional. They want to be your friend because they can gain something out of you, right? But God is not that. God is a God who is a faithful. In the book of John 10, verse 11 to 16, he says, I am the good shepherd. See the word shepherd used again. But you go on to read and understand the connection between the shepherd and friend. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But the hireling, i.e. those henchmen, right? They are not the shepherd. They are third-party outsourced contractor. He who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, when they see the wolf coming, and then they leave the sheep and flee. Okay? So think about it. Only the shepherd, when the danger comes, will stay back. If you outsource that role to someone else, the joker see the wolf come, they run. This is what the word of the Lord says. Right? And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them, the hireling free, because he's a higher hand and does not care about the sheep. But the Lord says that, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. So the sheep know me, and I know them. Okay? And as the fathers know me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So the shepherd says that, I will lay down my life for you. If there's a wolf coming, I'll go after the wolf. If you're going to cost me my life, I'll still go after the wolf, right? And the other sheep of which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. So even, Jesus go on to explain that even you're not a Christian, you're not part of this fold, you're not part of this community, I will still go out and bring them into the fold. And they will hear my voice, and there'll be one flock, and there'll be one shepherd. So the shepherd, the Lord that we serve, is not only our leader. He's also a friend who says that I'm going to lay down my life for you. And that's how faithful he is. And this is what the meaning of Jehovah Rohi is all about. So tomorrow when you walk out here, when people tell you the Lord is my shepherd, but I think more importantly, I hope you understand beyond a shepherd, beyond our leader, he's also our friend. And not only he's our friend, he's our friend who's willing to lay down his own life for us. And he remained faithful all the way through and through. So I hope with that, it gives you a good understanding what Jehovah Rohi, actually today I'm doing very well in time. I'm going to close, okay? When we go through the series, we'll study Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, and all this. Ultimately, all these names will represent certain aspect, certain character of God. As we get to understand it, we're beginning to relate to it. Whatever situation in our life in, if some of you here are lost sheep, I hope you understand what the shepherd can do for you. The shepherd can protect you, can comfort you, can guide you. Okay? At the same time, this is a shepherd who will lay his life for you. But if you go to the books of Philippians, chapter 2, I'm going to close with this. Please turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. I thought this kind of summarize exactly what this series. Maybe I'm jumping my gun, go to the last part. But I thought this is good. Let's read the word of the Lord. It says here, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, do not consider it robbery to be equal with God." So basically says that Jesus Christ, even though he's equal as God, right? He do not consider that being in the form of God, okay? It's nothing or shame to say that it's the same status. It's not robbery, but make himself of no reputation. This is Son of God. He come in with no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of man. So even God humble himself to come down to our level, okay? And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So we're talking about God, Jehovah Rohi, the shepherd, the Son of God, okay, who make himself like all of us, sinners, imperfect. And not only that, he humbled. Even God said that I'm going to put you through very excruciating pains of death. He said, I will do it obedient to the point of death, even to the death of cross. And some of us will watch a movie, The Passion of Christ. You know how bad that death of cross is all about, right? Because of what he's willing to do, because of what Jesus is willing to do. Verse 9 says, therefore, because of what he's willing to do, God also has highly exalted him. And this is one interesting, okay? God said that I highly exalted my Son, and because of what he has done, and gave him the name which is above every name. As we go through the series of names, you know that every name is so powerful. Jehovah Rohi, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, whatever. Each name is so powerful. But God said that because what Jesus is willing to do, I am going to exalt him. And this name is above every name that you're going to hear today and you're going to hear for the next few weeks. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord Yahweh, to the glory of God the Father. So Philippians 2 basically says that whatever name that we're going to learn throughout this whole series, right? Because of Christ's obedience, even to the point of death, that he take on all our sin to die for us, God going to exalt him so high that I'm going to give him a name above all this name. And the name is Jesus. And what's the name of Jesus mean, right? Jesus means salvation. Jesus means Savior. Jesus, my Savior. Jesus, my salvation. And this is the name that is above all name. And every tongue will always confess that he is the Lord Yahweh to the glory of God the Father. And this is the God that we worship. So every name that you know of, every character of God is all encapsulated in the name Jesus the Savior. Because why? In books of Philippians, God says that. That he died for our sin, even to the point of death, because of his obedience. The Lord has given him a special name, Jesus. And this is a name we shall worship. And this is a name that we shall always remind ourselves that we are sinners. And because of our sin, Lord have to send his Son as a Savior for us. Jesus the Savior, Jesus the Salvation. And Yahweh, the Lord that we serve. So I hope that gives you a little bit of... I hope this will start you thinking about the significance of the name of God. And as we go through the series, use the opportunity to understand every single aspect of this name and try to apply that into your life. Some of us, at this stage of our life, we need a shepherd to guide us. We really need a shepherd to guide us. We are lost. We are wandering all over the place. We are tempted by all kinds of things. You're like a sheep wandering in the pasture. Then you see, wow, that patch looks very interesting. I want to go there and taste it. Not knowing the danger behind that. And that is when the shepherd will have to guide you in. And if you are still so stubborn, maybe he will have to apply a brake on your life. Hold you back. Whatever circumstances you're in, sometimes don't blame it as if God is trying to hold you back. because He loves you so much, He wants to bring you into the fold. And that is Jehovah Rohi. And then you think about Jehovah Ra, and we have a God that is not only as our leader, as a God, as our Lord. He's also our companion, He's our friend. And not only a friend, He's a faithful friend, even to the point of death. And then Jesus as a name, as a Savior, is a name that God has given to Him. A name above all names. With that, I'm going to close. Thank you.
Check 1, 2. I want to just end by asking us to go back to where Silas started. Go to Exodus 3, will you? And with that, we'll close. Go to Exodus 3. I think Silas talk about God replying to Moses, I am who I am, right? I thought that was a good start. But I want us to just dial back and you go to Exodus 3, 1. And with this, I'll end. I want to just take a couple of minutes. In Exodus 3, 1, if you read, it talks about the burning bush. You know, I just met a friend recently. He showed me a picture. He says, do you know where I was? I was at the burning bush. They found the place and there's this place. I want to go there, man. I've been to Israel, but I've not seen the burning bush. So one day, Moses was tending the flock and then he saw the burning bush. And that is in Exodus 3, 1. I'll just scroll down so that I don't take too much time. When Exodus 3, 4, when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, Moses, Moses, here I am. Moses replied, do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. I scroll down. And this is what God said to Moses. Then the Lord told him, I've seen the oppression of my people. I've heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I'm aware of the sufferings, so I've come to rescue them. Now, when we talk about the names of God, I think it's also as we go down the line, I'll talk a bit, Gunn will be, Royston a bit, and Silas will come back. Know some characteristics which I think will be important as you undergird. Huh? If you look at Exodus 3:7, the Lord said to Moses when he met him at the burning bush, then the Lord told him in chapter 3, verse 7, I have seen the oppression of my people. Now, God is a shepherd. Today I learned something new as well. God is also a friend and companion, right? So if you look at Jehovah Rohi, you think about shepherd, but as you look at what Silas just talked about, elaborated, he's also a friend and companion. But look at not only the name, but what does God do? That way, God has seen. God has got eyes, you know. He sees things. So if you're suffering, don't for a second think He doesn't know that you're suffering. I have seen. And what else does He tell you? I have heard. God got ears, you know. Shireen, when you are in trouble, right? God says, I have heard your cries of distress. Number 3, I am aware. God is conscious. God sees, God hears, God is aware. And because of all these things, verse 8 tells you what? Therefore, the word key, so I have come. And He comes, if you look at Exodus 6, Silas will tell you, I've come to rescue, to deliver, to redeem. But Moses was protesting, as we all talk about Exodus. It's a very good transition, right? We finish Exodus and then we talk about the name of God. But Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? So listen, after hearing all these things, Moses then decides to ask God, so who am I? God is, it's like Moses asking, what's my identity? Who am I? What's my name? What do I stand for? Who am I? But by the time God talked to him, and in just a couple of verses, the thing changed. And then now it is in just 2 verses later, after God talked to Moses, by the time the verse 13 came, it is Moses asking, so if they ask, what is your name? What shall I tell them? I like that. Sometimes we should not be asking too much about who am I. Oh, don't ask so much about who am I, what do I stand for, what's my identity. Why don't you first ask, who is God? Which one is more important, Brian? Is it your identity or God's identity? Now, which one do you know of first that will then undergird the other one? Does it help that if Dawn knows your identity first or Dawn knows God's identity and God's name first? Which one is more crucial? Which one, if you know, will then help you with the other one? I think the answer is obvious, isn't it? Know who God is first. Now, when you know who God stands for and what He is, you will know who you are. Does it make sense? And you should know. Just in two verses, he says, but who am I? Verse 11. Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? God says, verse 12, I will be with you. And this is a sign that I'm the one who has sent you. When you worship, you worship God at this mountain. But God, Moses still protested, if I go to the people, then what is the God of your ancestors sent to me? They'll ask me, what is your name? Then what shall I tell them? So as God framed it by the verse 14, it is God telling Moses, I am who I am. I think it's important that switch from asking about who I am to God. Can you tell me who you are? Once you know who God is, I think it frames our identity. Don't you think so? That frames our purpose and our conviction. How we're to live, Luther. I don't know how many more years you have. Your next 20 years or the next 30 years or whatever time you have. He is a God who listens. He's a God who has seen. He's a God who has heard. He's a God who's aware. And because he has got all his faculties working, he has come to redeem the Israelites from the Egyptians. And he's still doing it today for all of us. I had two quite interesting close shaves. Two weeks ago, I hit my head. And today, just parked the car, don't come back. The tree was... it could even have hit. And then I have to do no claim against who for damage to my car. But God kept me safe. God is my shepherd. God loves me. And today, as we go on to the name of God, I want to just frame it. Not so much that it's not important who you are, but maybe more importantly, can I challenge us? Find out more about God. What is he? Who does he stand for? But know that he's for you. He will help you. Let's pray. As I ask Karen to just come up together with Esther, I just want to sing one song. I know someone that will catch Jasmine by surprise. We're going to sing Shepherd of My Soul. It's a simple one. And then as we come, will you come before the Lord as we bring the service to an end? Can I invite you to stand? Not only is he a friend, not only a shepherd, but Silas has just reminded us, he's a friend, he's a companion. Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow. I've made the choice.
I have made the choice
to listen.
To listen for your voice. Wherever you may lead, I will go.
Sing Shepherd of My Soul from the top, Shepherd.
Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow. I have made a choice to listen to your voice. Wherever you may lead, I will go. Be it in the quiet pastures or by a gentle stream, the shepherd of my soul is by my side. Should I face the mighty mountains or by the shepherd of my soul will be my.
Be it in the quiet pastures, sing.
Be it in a quiet pasture or by a gentle breeze, the shepherd of my soul is by my side. Should I face a mighty mountain or a valley dark and deep, the shepherd of my soul.
From the top again, sing Shepherd of My Soul. Father, thank you for being a shepherd. Shepherd.
Shepherd of my soul,
I give you
full control. Wherever you may lead,
I will fall. I've made a choice, and I have made a choice to listen for your voice. Wherever you may lead, I will go. Be it in the quiet pastures, and be it in the quiet pastures, or by a gentle breeze, the shepherd of my soul is by my side, by my side. Should I face a mighty mountain or a valley dark and deep, the shepherd of my soul. Final time, sing, be it in the quiet pastures, be it in the quiet pastures, or by a gentle breeze, the shepherd of my soul, he's by my side, he's by my side. Face a mighty mountain or a valley dark and deep, the shepherd of my soul will be my guide. Should I face a mighty mountain or a valley dark and deep, the shepherd of my soul.
One more time. Should I face a mighty mountain?
Should I face a mighty mountain or a valley dark and deep, the shepherd of my soul.
Can we just lift our hands to bring an end to this? I know some people are starting a new job. Malcolm's starting a new job next week. I know some people are looking for a change. I'm just speaking to someone. And that person who I spoke to, he didn't even know. I just prompted to just WhatsApp him, and then he tells me he's looking for a change. You know, we have a shepherd, a God that is hearing us. He sees us, he hears us, and he's concerned. So will you come before the Lord, whatever you have, bring your life. And I bring this service to an end. If there's somebody with no one looking around, lift your hands before the Lord. The shepherd, also the friend, the companion, is here for you. Father, thank you. Speak to my brother or sister so that, Lord, they know the direction, not only for them, but for their child. The child has just come back from London, whether she will get to work in a certain place or whatever scholarship, whatever we need. Father, we know you're God that cares for us. So, Father, we thank you. We're able to come before you. Lord, you're the shepherd of our soul. May we just find solace, comfort, confidence in your name, so that when we call upon you, you'll hear us, you're for us, you listen to us, you're concerned for our welfare. Father, we thank you, we bless you. Be my brother and sister until we meet again next week. Continue to work in their lives, undergird their faith. We thank you, we bless you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Thank you. We'll see you next week. God bless you.